SpinQuest Social Casino. It's Thanksgiving time. The turkey's hot and the family's loud. Instead of football, play a different game on your phone. Live dealer blackjack, craps, and slots. Play anytime, anywhere. SpinQuest.com. This Thanksgiving, gobble up a $30 coin pack for just $10. Come play today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Hello, everybody. Good morning and welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge and we're in the studio in Manchester this morning for the latest Manchester United transfer news. We've got updates on Mbeumo. We've got updates on Onana. We've got updates on Ruben Amorim's perfect striker. We've got updates on Semenyo, on Eze, on the midfield, on centre-backs. And of course, what striker it is that Amorim's going to go for, because the transfer window is officially back open this morning. Will that make a lot of difference? Well, look, Mbeumo was talking yesterday at the Canadian GP, and I think a lot of people are saying deal close. I think, look, when you listen to that interview, he's not saying he's signing for Manchester United, but it does sound very reminiscent of his relationship with Thomas Frank. There is, you know, basically a thank you there and a wishing him all the best. It's interesting this morning because I've just seen this in the ESPN, actually. Manchester United will target Bournemouth's Semenyo or Crystal Palace's Eze if they fail to sign Brentford's Brian Mbeumo. And I think what you've got to say time and time again on a transfer show is that when you look at last year under Ineos and when you look at this year under Ineos, we are still being led by basically one or two people. And that is David Ornstein and Fabrizio Romano. So when I see a big list of we're doing this, we're doing that, we're going for this, we're going for that, and I go, but you don't know anything. You don't know that. I mean, we're not in for Semenyo. I keep saying this weeks ago. We're not in talks with Semenyo. It's a name that could be being linked to us. Same with Eze, because of the five strands of a transfer. Maybe they're looking for a move, you use Man United. Maybe their agent's looking for a move, you use Man United. Maybe they want a new contract where they are, they're using Manchester United. We're not in talks with Semenyo. That's not how this football club works. You've got to look at how the football club works. We're in deep talks with Mbeumo, who wants to come to Manchester United. We are not out there going, Semenyo, what do you think? Do you want to be on the menu, Semenyo? Eze? Easy deal. You know, we're not doing that. We're totally focused on Mbeumo at the moment. And look, I said it a few weeks ago, and Beth was just saying it there. It's almost like Brentford have the weekend off. Well, jokingly, a couple of weeks ago, that was an update that Brentford basically don't work weekends in the summer. And maybe that slowed things down. And Mbeumo is also on holiday in Canada. So this deal can happen. I think it's in Manchester United's interest to get it done sooner rather than later. But the cold, harsh facts are it's the middle of June. They want 60 million. And we want, quite rightly, to do a deal that suits us when it comes to installments, because we want to go and do other deals. And I think that's where we are with that. Welcome to Members Club, Stefan. So, I mean, look, Zabuse says Mbeumo will not join Manchester United with emojis. I mean, it's Monday morning, mate, and you're using laughing emojis about a player that's going to sign for Man United, not joining Man United, on a Man United fan channel. Yeah, you've got to take a look at yourself, mate, because it's a crap joke. And also, the only ones laughing is you with your rubbish emojis. He will sign for Manchester United. I don't know why you think trolling us on a Monday morning is worth your time, really, but he will sign for Manchester United. When he'll sign for Manchester United, we don't know, but we're certainly not looking at alternatives at the moment. I think what's really interesting this morning, and I want to get into this, is that I want to know what's happening with the striker. That's where my main priority is. And a really interesting thing came out from The Athletic this morning about Amorim's ideal centre forward. I mean, maybe Amorim is just bored on holiday and thought, you know what, I'm used to doing 60 interviews a day. from who's going to play in the midfield to what my favourite colour is. I'm not being satisfied by these lack of interviews, so I think I'll ring up the Athletic sports desk and tell them what my ideal striker is, because they've got a list here, and it says Amrim's ideal centre forward: tall, can play with back to goal, holds up goal kicks, freeing attackers to advance, explosive pace to beat defences or run channels, consistent ball striking, converts half chances and takes high volume shots. I mean, look, I'm not taking the piss out of that. And that is quite a... Some people would say, that's basically what a striker is. But it isn't necessarily. You could go for a striker that's... good at holding the ball up and bringing others into play, dropping deep, takes people on, wanders out to the wing and lets people run beyond him. So there's loads of different types of strikers you can go for. What the word I'm not getting is Ekitike. I'm not getting the word Ekitike. Holds up the ball well, explosive pace to defeat defences or run channels, well, okay. Consistent ball striking, converts half chances, takes high volume shots. That's not really Ekitike. That's Victor Osimhen. That's Victor Gyökeres. That's possibly Mateta. It's not Ekitike as far as I'm concerned. Because I think what we're ultimately looking for here up front is a striker that can score goals, take on the burden of scoring goals for a Manchester United side that doesn't do it. Obviously, you've got to solve the creation issue, but Cunha is very creative. I think Mbeumo is quite creative. You need that figurehead striker. And I think this week is going to be a really big week for Manchester United in relation to strikers. Gyökeres still looks odds on to go to Arsenal, according to a lot of people out there. I'm not convinced about that. Osimhen still looks odds on not to be coming to Manchester United because of finances, Champions League and the Saudi. And we've got this Ekitike story over the weekend that's sort of building. And it's a bit of a concern. And I think, look, you've got to be realistic. What striker would you want at Manchester United at the moment? Because I feel that we're going to get some sort of development around what's going to happen, because there needs to be. And I'll be completely honest. I wouldn't mind Ekitike to Liverpool this week. Just remove that possibility. I do not like the price and I do not like the player. Any suitability for Manchester United? Because people would quite rightly say, how can you say you don't like the player but you think he's good enough for Liverpool, who are the best team in England? Exactly. I think he suits the way Liverpool play. I don't think Liverpool need a high volume goal scorer. I think Liverpool is, you know, about the system. We're trying to build a system. And in an Amrim system, you need a high volume striker. You need a goal scorer. And I think Mateta is more suitable to our system than Ekitike or Xerxes or anyone like that. And also think Xerxes is quite similar to Ekitike. So we need a volume goal scorer. And what I mean by a volume goal scorer is somebody who scores a lot of goals. I think Ekitike is too similar to Xerxes. And I would rather we pulled out of that deal because it's very expensive. But let's see what happens, because I also sense, and this is just pure opinion, I actually sense that this is Eintracht Frankfurt in Germany, and the main journalist who's pushing this is Plettigol, who's based in Germany. And as we've seen with Damasio in Italy, sometimes journalists can do work for the country that they work in. And Manchester United being in the Ekitike race, and I've not heard anybody say this yet, probably some of you have because you switched on, does it not feel a little bit convenient that Man United are in the Ekitike race when it's gone very quiet from Chelsea and Liverpool? I mean, I even read last night from, I think it was Plettigol, that Man United are the only people to have concrete talks with Ekitike. That to me sort of like goes, Man United are the only ones having a talk. You're interested, but they're talking. You might want to get your trainers on and start running. And it feels a little bit like that to me. My lad Kai has got his last exam. Could you please give him a shout out? We always watch the United Stand, says Kenneth. Good luck if it's your last exams today. Love that. Get them out of the way. I want to talk about this, but just a little bit coming out of Italy. Corriere della Sport are saying that there is a lot of interest in Xerxes. But United are not willing to sell and he will stay this summer. So maybe we'll circle back into that. Also reports that Tottenham's signing of Tell on a permanent basis is understood to have been accelerated after Spurs found out that Mbeumo will not be going to there. He wants to go to Manchester United. But interesting story. He's obviously back from his holidays. I'm going to say the Manchester Evening News because if I say the name of the journalist, it sometimes makes me want to hurl. So I'm just going to say Manchester Evening News. But he's obviously back from holiday because he's come out with a couple of pearlers this morning. One of them is that Mbeumo is highly likely to join Manchester United. Oh, no shit, Sherlock. Where have you been for 2 weeks? No Wi-Fi zones. I mean, oh, God, cutting-edge journalism. The Pound, Land, Ornstein. But he's come out with another one as well. Manchester Evening News. Andre Onana is expected to remain at Manchester United this summer, despite reports. Amrim has a warm working relationship with him. Well, look, I will respond to this one because people will be going, oh, you got sat down by the Record on Saturday, when we didn't, and now you've been sat down by the Manchester Evening News because you said that Onana's going to leave. So Onana is expected to remain at Man United this summer, despite reports. Amrim has a warm working relationship with him. Okay, so when it comes to Onana, in the international break in March, from a very good source within the football club, Onana is not wanted by Amrim or Wilcox. They want a better goalkeeper. They fully understand the importance of having a goalkeeper that you trust. Amrim, Wilcox do not trust Onana. They have eyes. Like you and me, they can see and observe that he ain't that good. They want to replace Onana. But there is a list. There is a priority list. United didn't get European football and don't have lots of money. You can't get all the way down the list. Onana is a goalkeeper that they want to move on, but Onana doesn't want to go. And Man United cannot retain a goalkeeper on huge wages and then bring another goalkeeper on huge wages. So for them to replace Onana, they need Onana to go. And it's always been the case, they want him to go, but if the club can't remove him, then Amrim may have to use him. So this story that Amrim wants to keep him is bullshit. Like Pep Guardiola at Man City, like Mikel Arteta at Arsenal, Amrim wants his own guy. Like Ten Hag at Man United, madly getting rid of De Gea for Onana. I hope Beth can't hear. He wanted his own guy. And Amrim wants his own guy. But removing Onana ain't going to be easy. Onana himself at the weekend in an interview said, I don't know what's going to happen. Let's wait and see. Because he's fully aware that Man United want to move him on, but is hoping that they can't and he can stay. So don't get over dramatic on a Monday morning that Onana's staying because Amrim wants him to stay. Onana's staying because he won't go and Man United therefore can't really replace him. If Onana would go, Man United would replace him. And it's still very up in the air as well. But that's not really an update. That's a journalist who rolls in on a Monday morning, looks at what's going on and regurgitates. Amrim does get on with Onana. The players get on with Onana. He's well liked, but that's not enough to be Man United's goalkeeper. They do want to change it, but it's difficult. It's challenging. And it's as challenging as Marcus Rashford. It's as challenging as Jadon Sancho. It's a challenging thing to remove these types of players. And that's something that we can focus on Mbeumo. We want to talk about the striker next. And we can talk about Garnacho. And we can talk about everybody else. But ultimately, what underpins Manchester United is their ability to remove players. If our only options for strikers are plan C, D or Q, should we just stick with Obi, Xerxes and Rasmus for a year and try them with Cunha and Mbeumo, says Lazy. Mate, hypothetical scenarios in a summer transfer window are great because there's no consequences. Would you jump into a swimming pool 10 metres from the edge with a great white shark 100 metres behind you? Hypothetically, yeah, I might give it a go. I'd fancy my chances. Would you actually do it in reality? And this is it. We can all hypothetically say, oh, let's just give it a try with Obi, Xerxes and Rasmus. But when it hits October and we're mid-table and we're playing shit and you're shouting Amrim out, you'll be going, we should have bought a striker in the summer. Arsenal did this last year. Oh, maybe we can win the league without a striker. And then they're all going, we should have bought a bloody striker. If we don't buy a striker this summer, we will suffer, hugely suffer. So we absolutely have to do it. But in relation to Onana expected to stay at Manchester United this summer, despite speculation, it's inflammatory from an outlet that is inflammatory, because it's not the truth. He may well end up staying, but don't try and term it in a way where United want to keep him. This is a bit like polishing a turd. It's like, how do we make this look good? We never wanted to get rid of Onana in the first place. You know, we never wanted Gyökeres in the first place. Look, own the truth. It's a challenge. And you know what? I don't even blame Sir Jim Radcliffe or Ineos or Wilcox or Berarda on this. It's very difficult when you inherit a goalkeeper that's only been here for 2 years, that the whole world knows not good enough, that who is on a huge wage, and your manager is saying, I need a new goalkeeper. And you're saying, you need a new goalkeeper. You need two number 10s. You need a midfielder. You need a bloody striker. You know, I'm not bloody Jack. I haven't got magic beans to build a bloody beanstalk. You know, this is real. This is real life. And some things we're going to have to get used to. And do I like the prospect of seeing Andre Onana coming for crosses next year or palming it back into danger like he's playing volleyball? I tell you what, he would be very good at volleyball. Why is he not in the Olympics at volleyball? Because he's brilliant at palming the ball back into, you know, straight. Imagine that. He'd be diving on the floor, palming it back straight. Brilliant. Mateta or Wizza or both, says Shane. We just need one. Just need one, really. He'd be winning gold in the Olympics, definitely. Juventus are preparing for the possible departure of Vlahovic this summer. They have a list of options they would look at to replace him. Jonathan David, Victor Gyökeres and Victor Osimhen. That's coming in from Sky Italy. Lovely stuff. But I think in relation to the striker, just sticking with Italy for a moment.
SpinQuest Social Casino. It's Thanksgiving time. The turkey's hot and the family's loud. Instead of football, play a different game on your phone. Live dealer blackjack, craps, and slots. Play anytime, anywhere. SpinQuest.com. This Thanksgiving, gobble up a $30 coin pack for just $10. Come play today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
We can't sell Rasmus at the moment whilst we don't know what we're doing with a striker. That would be ridiculous. If we sell Rasmus, we make ourselves more desperate. I'm not saying Rasmus is going to stay. Inter Milan have been linked again. I've seen that again this morning. We know Juventus are looking for a striker. We know Napoli are looking for a striker. But the worst thing we could do is let Xerxes, who probably isn't going to go anyway, or Rasmus go before we sort this striker situation out. But I think there's a genuine fear amongst some of our fans at the moment, not amongst me, and I'll tell you why in a minute, but I think there is a bit of a genuine fear at the moment that we're going to be back in Carrington in a matter of weeks. We're going to be flying to the US a couple of weeks after that. And on that plane, you're going to see Rasmus Højlund, Garnacho, Rashford, Anthony, Sancho, Onana, and okay, you might see Cunha and Mbeumo there, but is that enough? Is that enough? There's still a lot of players going on a tour. And I think that the one thing that we can learn, we can't be Liverpool. Liverpool are our biggest rival, and the way they're run, and they're Premier League title holders, and they're going to have a good go at the Champions League, and they're going to be a very good team next season. We can't be Liverpool now. It's going to take time. But we can do some things that make Liverpool good instantly. And what Liverpool did last season is gave Arne Slot a squad and said, get on with it from July the 1st. And what Liverpool, and people say, well, they didn't buy anybody, it's easy. But that was because they wanted a manager to come in and work with the squad that Klopp had built. And he had a very good long pre-season that wasn't disrupted by ins and outs. And then this summer, what's happening is they're trying to get their outs done. Trent's obviously gone. They're trying to get rid of Nunez. Luis Diaz could go. And their ins are happening very quickly. So what's going to happen again is the first week of July, Arne Slot's going to go back to wherever, is it, I can't remember, Melbourne. Where'd Liverpool? Millfield. Millhouse. I don't know. I don't care. I don't know where Liverpool train. It begins with an M. Melrose Place. Something. Someone in the chat is going to tell us. Anyway, Liverpool are going to go back training the first week of July, and they're going to have all their new signings and all the players they don't want. And it's going to be from minute one, this is what we're doing as a football club. Man United have never done this. How many summers have we gone, oh, Pogba might be here for August, Lukaku might be here for August, De Ligt and Mazraoui might be here for the first game of the season. I mean, I remember with De Ligt and Mazraoui, it was like, will they be here in time to start the first game of the season? And they weren't. You've got to get these players in. It's so important. Melwood, I think it's called. That's it. Thank you, Rahul. But there will be people in our fan base, you know, Glazer sympathisers, whatever. We all know who they are. And they'll be going, the transfer window closes on August the 31st. Why are people panicking? Because I'm telling you now, a pre-season is worth 6 to 10 points. And 6 to 10 points at the end of the season moves you up a few places. It doesn't sound much, 6 points, but it's a lot in the context of a full season. And how many times over the last few years have we dropped points because we're not ready? We haven't got our best team out. And that is something that United, if we're really about strategic reviews, that we need to be looking at in a big, big way. You say that, Mark, but what striker are we going to go for? Look, I'm not here. Well, I am here to do this. I want to see, Tyrus has just gifted a membership. I want to see some decisive action on the centre forward. I'm completely relaxed about Mbeumo. If it takes two more weeks, all we've got left with Mbeumo is here we go. Like, the player wants to come. The personal terms will be done. You've just got to get deal agreed with Brentford. Here we go. Or Bomber, you know, and it's there. And then it's just like, when's the away kit out? Let's get him in. There's not a lot to do with Mbeumo, so I'm relaxed. But the striker, I'm sort of looking at the striker situation. And look, it's good to do this on a news show. When you look at the striker situation at the moment, Osimhen, very unlikely to happen, 10% chance. He's also going to be playing everybody off against each other. Osimhen is the, and I'm going to use girl here as a, well, actually, I'm going to use woman. As a straight male, but also with the asterisk that I'm married and this is a hypothetical, right? Osimhen walks into a nightclub. There's 10 people that quite fancy him or her. I've already gone wrong. And he walks in knowing it. He knows everybody's interested. And he looks around and goes, maybe after 3 pints, but generally says, he's just drinking water, actually, and goes, you know what? There's 5 or 6 I really like the look of here. Set me up with 6 tables. Let's have a chat. Oh, your time's up. I might come back later. And I feel like Osimhen is that situation. He's in the nightclub. There's 10 people he's interested in and he wants to mingle. He's single and he's looking to mingle. And Man United haven't got time for that. Man United are like, I ain't got time to chat. I ain't got time for anything. Let's just get back to the hotel room. Let's get on with it. Here we go. You know, I'm Cinderella. We're Cinderella. If I don't get this done by midnight, I'm turning into a tramp, you know? So we're Cinderella FC. We've got to get this done quick with the strikers. We cannot afford to flirt and buy drinks and, oh, yeah, go and have a chat with them, but you'll be back. And all. We can't afford to do that. Cinderella FC, we've got a couple of hours. Are we going back to the hotel room or not? And I think with Osimhen, fair play, he can play around. He can take his time. We can't afford to do that. Jokeres, I think that similar situation. We need to get this moving. But if he's saying, if Arsenal don't want me, I will come to you, then you can sort of go, I understand it. They've got a bigger car than me or whatever. I understand that. And if they don't want you, I will take you. I understand that. Beggars can't be choosers. Ekitike feels like not the right person. Just not the right fit. You know, you want, yeah, imagine that one in a nightclub. And then you're sort of like, you're scratching around what's next. And that's where I think Mateta walks in and goes, I really like you. And you go, you know what? You're not put any makeup on, but you've not made much of an effort, but actually you're perfect. And I think Mateta would work. So I think with the striker situation, that's what United need to figure out, because I'm looking at it, and I'm sure many of you are looking at it, and you're going, it's really easy to read the strikers that we're looking at. I don't think Ekitike is a good fit, and he's very expensive, and he needs a lot of teaching. Gyökeres is waiting for Arsenal. If he doesn't go there, is he coming to us? It's probably worth finding out. Osimhen's just going to speak to everybody and probably not pick us. Mateta would probably love to come to Man United and probably wouldn't be a bad fit. So, but this position, when you go back to what The Athletic were reporting about this morning and the type of striker that Amrin wants, what is absolutely essential is this striker doesn't come in the back end of July and not have a pre-season. They've got to be there. They've got to be the first one in. If I'm Amrin, when's pre-season? 7th of July. Right, the striker, I want you in on the 6th, because we're going to sit in a room and have a chat about statistically and diagrams and, you know, flip boards, presentations before the players come in. You're so important. You're so important. Sky Germany says Lee Berman saying we'll add Schick to our transfer list if we fail with Gyökeres, Mateta and Ekitike. I mean, I don't know whether we will do that, mate. I really don't. But this is what I mean. I don't want the striker situation to start becoming desperate. It's such an important position. I don't want to rush into a bad decision, but I don't want to take ages on it either. I think that the best way I could explain it is, would you wait until the 1st of August on a 20% chance of getting Osimhen, or would you take Mateta in the last week of June? And I'll take Mateta in the last week of June. Would you wait until the last day of the transfer window, August the 31st, for Ekitike and 100 million, or would you take Mateta today? I'll take Mateta. And that's my point. We're not talking about the quality of the player. We're not talking about the value of the player. We're talking about the suitability for Manchester United right here, right now, and how quick we can get them. And if you can give me a striker that's going to score me 15 Premier League goals and spearhead our team, which someone like Mateta could, I'll take it. Mark, should Liverpool buy Ekitike soon, or Arsenal should decide their striker for us to have clarity? I mean, it's pathetic to wait for rivals, says Kevin. Well, look, as I said, I would like to see Ekitike off the menu, because I think it's a bad deal for us financially. And I don't think he's suitable for what we want. I don't think he's a prolific goal scorer. So I would like to see Liverpool make a move. But I would also like to see Arsenal choose what they want with Sesko or Gyökeres, because if they're getting Gyökeres, fine. But I'm not convinced by that. I don't think we'll ever know what happened this weekend. All I know is that Saturday night became Toxic Sunday. It was a mess. It was disgusting. Some of the comments were disgusting. Some of the reaction was over the top. But I understand why, because the initial put out there was that Gyökeres had snubbed United. And then the people who were saying that then backtracked and said, no, he hasn't snubbed Man United. He'd actually like to go to Manchester United. He's just prioritising Arsenal because of the Champions League. And that sort of put an extinguisher on a deal that still could very much be on fire. So, but there's definitely a frustration starting to hit on the striker situation. And I think United are not obligated to deal with United fan obligation. We've been frustrated many, many transfer windows in the past. I would like to see us make some moves, because I think the summer transfer window is so important.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend, because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, And you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Let me just have a quick look what's going on here. Just had something come in. Mwani staying at Juventus. Just on that Cherki stuff, I was driving up to Manchester, obviously, this morning. I had the radio on, and they had the quote from Cherki about Manchester United. And it's funny how you can think someone's a knobhead, but also respect them. A lot of people say it to me, actually. So Cherki did actually say, really annoyed about Man United beating Lyon, and I want to kill them next season. Obviously, there's a bit of a language barrier there because it's just a stupid knobhead thing to say, you want to kill them. But on the flip side of the coin, language, not his first language, etc. There was a part of me that was quite jealous about it because obviously he's not come to Manchester United, he signed for Manchester City. But when I look at that Europa League final and I look at last season, and obviously he is a rival now, and when he comes to Old Trafford or when we play against him, you hope Martinez is fit and snaps him in two. That's in a joke sense. Yeah, I don't want him to break his leg or anything like that, but let him know he's there. But I do look at that type of player, and I think if we'd signed Cherki and he'd said, I can't wait to play Man City, I want to kill them, we'd be like, yeah, love that mentality. So I think we do need that sort of mentality at Manchester United more. I think we lack it. And I'm hoping that people like Cunha will bring that. I think United are stalling. It's clear that Ekitike is overpriced. I think the target is Gyökeres, simultaneously working on Osimhen, says Fola. I really like Mateta. How much is he, says Dazzo. If anybody knows how much Mateta would cost, then please do let us know in the chat. I'd be very interested to know because I think he's got a year left on his contract. Actually, I'll be able to do it on here. Let me have a quick look. Andre Onana wants to stay at United. Yeah, we know that. Midfielder, not a priority. Yeah, we know that. Nothing imminent for player sales at the moment. Yeah, we know that. Yeah, we know that as well. I just want to see if I can get this to do this. Here we go. Fabrizio Romano, Mateta. I think he's got a year left on his contract, but I might be wrong. Yeah, he has. Someone in the ear just said it. Jesus. No, it was Greg, the producer. Yeah, he has. What's all this? Get rid of that. He has got only 1 year left on his contract. There's no plus one. I thought there was a plus one. It's like me when I go out to an event and I take my wife and I have to send her home. I thought there was a plus one. Yeah, I thought there was a plus one. So if he's only got a year left on his contract, then... $30 million, $40 million. Palace won 35. I mean, look, it's not ideal to be sat here saying, let's sign Mateta. I understand that. But there is also, I can't deal with we're Manchester United. I can't be bothered with that. It's so irrelevant now. Like it's just such rubbish. We can use it in certain circumstances, we're Manchester United, but we can't use it in the striker situation when you've finished 15th in the league and you're not in Europe. You just need the best striker that can score you goals that suits the system. And Mateta does suit it more than Ekitike does, more than Schick does. Like, he does suit it better. And if that's where you're going, plan D, then stop, you know, dry your tears and go for what you can get as a plan D. Yeah, we can digest, dissect and analyse why we didn't get plan A, B or C. But that might simply be because we're shit. We've been shit. And that's what you end up with. But if you spend £35 million on Mateta, his wages will not be that big. You were looking to spend double that more than double that on Ekotike, Gyökeres, Osimhen, that surely then creates an opportunity where you could go for a midfielder, or more importantly for me, a centre back. That's what I would be looking at. Certainly. Let me have a just quick look here. But I don't think we'll be signing a midfielder. Somebody just said in the chat there, what about a midfielder? Look, the big thing about the midfield is people talk about Elliot Hackney. People talk about Douglas Luiz. They talk about Ederson. I've heard nothing about Ederson for a very long time. He'd probably end up signing for bloody Man City, to be honest with you. But I don't see signing. I don't see a midfielder priority. I think it's always important in a summer transfer window to assess where you are. And Mehdi says, standards in the sewer, no to Mateta. I don't have a problem with that, mate. What I would say is that you've got to be realistic. You've got to... We all said it. If you lose that Europa League final, we're in the sewers. We're at rock bottom. How does the club survive? Absence doesn't change that situation. Time doesn't change that situation. We will always be linked to players that are unrealistic. And I think we have probably been linked to some deals that were beyond our reach. And that has created a sense, a false sense of security within our fan base. When you get linked to people like Gyökeres and Osimhen and Martinez in goal, people start to think about top five. Many of us spoke about before the Europa League final, I said, and some of you agreed, if we win the Europa League final and we get Champions League football, I still think we might be in a worse position in a year's time. And people were like, yeah, but we've won the champ, we'll be in the Champions League. And I'm like, yeah, but just because we're in it doesn't mean we're going to win it. And just because we're in it, we're not going to get half a billion. We're going to get 100 million. I don't put us in the top five, even if we'd won the Europa League. So having not won it, I don't put us in the top five. But I think because of some of the transfers we've been linked to in the last few weeks, people are thinking, get that, and we're in the top five. I mean, even I said it, if you get Gyökeres, I think you've got half a chance of being in the top five. But the reality is, that's because I was talking about Gyökeres. We might have a chance of top five with a player like that, or Osimhen. But if you don't get those, back to reality, there goes gravity. I'm looking at, can we get in the top eight? We had our ass handed on a plate so many times next season. I don't for one minute think a pre-season and Cunha is going to change that massively. We're still going to be vulnerable in the midfield. We're still going to need a lot of players to step up to the plate. We've still got to see if this system can actually work in the Premier League week to week. So there's still a hell of a lot for Manchester United to do. And in that reality, where you might not get Gyökeres, Ekotike, Osimhen, Mateta becomes a very good option in the reality of what Manchester United is at the moment. That's what I'm saying, really. If you're saying no to Mateta, who are you going to go for instead? Says James Black. Very good point. Gyökeres is the best option around. I completely agree. We really need new good midfielders and good strikers next season, says Amir. And I think Mark should do forfeits, like wear a Liverpool shirt at Old Trafford for everything he's wrong, says James. Okay, I've not been wrong on anything yet, but there you go. Chelsea managed to get top four with crap Martinez as striker, so striker excuse is not valid. Take a second just to dissect that. Chelsea got top four with crap Martinez up front, so not having a striker is not valid. Two things. Who the fuck is Martinez? I can't think of anyone called Martinez playing up front for Chelsea. Secondly, Chelsea spent $2 billion in the last 18 months. I'd expect them to get top four. Not sure what that one's all about. But I'd fancy top four if we went and spent $2 billion on Amorim, to be fair. Let me have a quick look what's going on here. Oh, this is, there we go. Here we go. Slow this. Don't want to read about Liam Delap. Nope, next one. Just on the centre forward, there was a little bit more as well that I'd missed. Someone in the chat just said, it also said a tall player who can play with his back to goal and get hold of goal kicks, allowing attackers to push forward, pace to get behind defences and run the channels, consistent ball striking ability to convert half chances into goals with a willingness to take high volume shots. To me, Osimhen and Gyökeres are the best two at that. And I think that's why you'd be looking at them. For Manchester United, as Ken says, that's Gyökeres. A lot of people saying that's Osimhen. It's difficult. And you know what? Let's not forget what Fabrizio Romano said. He was 99% feeling that we'd get Gyökeres if we'd won the Europa League final. And there are people that should pay for their sins. That Europa League final is why we're here. It should never be forgotten. Like, that, not winning that Europa League final is why we're here with the striker, because not having Champions League football is a big problem financially, but it's also a big problem in relation to players wanting to come to us. I mean, look at the weekend. It's not that Gyökeres doesn't want to come to Manchester United, but he wants to play in the Champions League. Osimhen wants to play in the Champions League. We've removed ourselves from that conversation. Yes, we're Manchester United, but we're not in the Champions League. And that is hurting us with experienced players really do want to. I'd want to play in the Champions League. I haven't actually got a problem with that. I would want to play in the Champions League. Look at it. The group stage, the league stage, 8 games, then the knockout stage. I would want to play in it. And Man United can't guarantee me that they're going to be in it next year. And that's another thing that I would say. We did it with Paul Pogba and said, look, we're in the Europa League anyway, and we'll be back in the Champions League next year. And we were. But we can't even offer Europa League. We can't even offer Europe next year. You could be out of Europe for 2 years. That's a big, big, big thing. So I think you've got to look at players that, you know, if you can pull that off, it would be absolutely fantastic, really. Build are saying that Ekitike is open to joining Manchester United. I think that's Slow Sports News. I think we've had that before.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend, because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Spurs potentially willing to offer a higher salary for Mbeumo. Well, if that changes his mind, he can do one. I wouldn't be interested in that. And I would hope that that wouldn't change his mind. Champions League argument is strange because Arsenal may have it next year, then miss it for the next 5 years. Impossible to predict unless you go for City or Liverpool. I think, Mike, that Arsenal are going to be in the Champions League for the next foreseeable years. I think you can predict that Arsenal, Liverpool and Man City are going to be in the Champions League for a considerable period of time. I think if you go to somewhere like Villa or Man United or Newcastle, not necessarily. But no, look, a lot of people are saying this in the chat at the moment. I think with Osimhen, I said it a few weeks ago, didn't I? And it created a little bit of debate. How much money, if I'm Osimhen's agent and I said to you, 250 grand, forget it. You're not in the Champions League. There's a tax, 300 grand a week, and you can have him. He will come to you if you give him 300 grand a week, 250 grand a week, forget it. I'd do it, because I think the difference between having Osimhen up front and, let's say, Ekitike or Mateta up front is worlds apart. He scores goals. He suits that system. Obviously, Gyökeres does as well, but Osimhen, we don't really talk about enough. Like, if he was willing to come to Manchester United for 300 grand a week, the same fee as Bruno, a lot of people would say, nah, not doing it, not doing it. We give Mason Mount 250 grand a week. 300 grand a week's a lot, but it's the sort of thing, if I'm being completely honest, when Chelsea were coming through, when Man City were coming through, if Osimhen said, I'd come and play for you for 300 grand a week, they would have done it. and look at where those clubs are now. Sometimes you've got to take a risk. Sometimes you get what you pay for. And I think that if I knew that I could get Osimhen for 300 grand a week, I'd do it. I'd absolutely do it, because goals win games. Strikers score goals. He's a striker and he scores goals. So I would do it. But I don't think Man United would do it. I really, really don't. And I don't think, I mean, Labios says it's a big risk. It is a big risk. But if we don't take risks now, we were talking about this a few months ago, weren't we? You look at projects 20, what is it, 28? You look at Brailsford's strategic review. You look at all the sacking of people. You look at the plans for out there to rebuild Old Trafford. Everything we hear from Man United is project this, project that, and it's years in the making. And football is moving so fast. You know, there's a bloody tournament taking place in the United States at the moment that people are confused by, but FIFA are still doing it and it's still generating money. The Champions League has changed. It's bigger. It's making more money. And the teams that are in it are making a lot of money. If your plan is 3 or 4 years down the line, in that 3 or 4 years, Man City, Liverpool, Arsenal might have made $500 million more revenue than you. You've got to catch up quick. You can't catch up and go, we're going to catch up in a week or two, because in that week, everyone else is making hay. They're growing bigger and stronger. I don't think it's going to happen, but imagine Arsenal bought Gyökeres and Sesko. You'd be like, they've got Gyökeres and Sesko. And I think we're moving towards that world. I think these clubs that are continually, consistently in the Champions League are going to build such wealth and momentum that they will end up with two squads where they can pick one team for the Europa League, for the Champions League, and one team for the Premier League. We're falling behind on a plan that has never worked in football. But maybe it might have worked 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Maybe you could strategically look to rebuild yourself back over 3 or 4 years. But the way football's now, it's moving so quick. There's no time off. There's so much money in it. And I think the bigger teams are not building strong 11s with a decent bench. I think they're building super squads. I look at Man City's recruitment and I go, I don't know how he's picking all those players. I think Liverpool are heading that way. I think Arsenal are heading that way. PSG have been doing it for a while. Bayern Munich do it. Real Madrid will do it. We're going to see 7 or 8 teams in European football that are super squads, not super teams. And my point is we need to take risks now. Because if you don't take the risk now, we're going to look back at it in 3 years and go, that was the time to take a risk. And As I said, I've never seen a team in football conservatively rebuild themselves over 3 or 4 years and make it back conservatively. But I've seen loads of teams fast track their way to success. Newcastle, when the Saudis took over, Newcastle were in a relegation battle. They're now consistently getting into the top four, getting into the Champions League, and they've won a trophy. Chelsea went from nothing. People were parking their car behind the goal. Now they're one of the best teams in Europe. They're playing in the Club World Cup. They've won the Champions League twice in the last few years. Man City, one of the biggest clubs in the world, spent a load of money very, very quickly. Even Liverpool. Liverpool sold Coutinho for a lot of money and spent it. 100 and something million. In today's money, that's probably 250 million. They sold Coutinho. They reinvested it in the new manager, which is why Ricky and myself, to a certain extent, were like, we probably should have sold Bruno. If we're moaning about money, we probably should have sold Bruno and reinvested heavily in the squad. But we're not, I don't think this is going to work slow. I think you've got to take risks. And that takes me back to the attempts to get Gyökeres are valid and I praise it. But if there was an angle with Osimhen where he's asking for a wage that the club thinks too much, sometimes people are worth it. And I think 300 grand, it probably is. Okay, what we got? Bit of Osimhen from Fabrizio. Where is it, Greg? Oh yeah, got it now. Okay, so literally well-timed. Fabrizio does watch the channel. Hello, Fabrizio. He's probably gone, I need to put something out about Osimhen. The race for Osimhen is still open. Al Hilal want to submit a new offer. Meanwhile, Premier League clubs Galatasaray and Juventus are still interested. Yeah, he did say that last night as well. But that's what I mean. The race is still open. And I feel that United, if look, we've done the nightclub analogy. Let's use a car. If there is a car auction place and Alzheimer's is a Ferrari and there's a load of people looking at it, I feel that, and the price is, let's say, 200 grand, 250 grand for the Ferrari, right? United turn up and everyone's sort of, we're going to offer about 250, 260, this, that, and the other. I feel United need to walk in and go, there's 300 grand. Make the big offer that no one else wants to make. If someone comes and offers more, we had a go. But you come in and you offer, make an offer that is so bigger than everyone else's that it makes everyone go, shit. And then it makes the player go, bloody hell. But I feel we'll walk in and offer 210 and go, we're Manchester United. And everyone looks at you and goes, you've offered 40 grand, but less than everybody else. And you think he's going to join. We're Manchester United. Play the clips of 99. Solskjaer has won it. Not the Sheringham one. Solskjaer has won it. Where's the bloody audio? I feel that that's what we would do. We'd come in and offer undervalue. And I think if the race for Osman is over, I said this last week, we need to walk up to Victor Osman and say, there's 300 grand a week. Do you want it? Because it's on offer now. And if he goes, I want to see what everyone else is doing. See you later. But if he takes it, you've got yourself a striker. But I don't think we operate like that anymore. I think we're trying to be successful on a budget. I'm not sure that can happen. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Loved that. We're back at 2 o'clock. I think it's a 7 o'clock show tonight because we've got Club World Cup on That's Football Chelsea. Giving it another chance. 7 o'clock show tonight. But obviously, if anything happens in between, I'll let you know. Do I expect anything to happen this week? I'm not committing. I'm not committing to here we goes or anything like that. I think United need to do something around the striker. I'll be honest, Mbeumo, I'm really relaxed. The striker, we need to do something. But let's wait and see. Thanks, everyone, for watching. People are talking about Danny Welbeck. I don't know whether Danny Welbeck's an option for Manchester United. I think that would be something I would avoid, really. Too short term. I'd rather go for Mateta. Fabrizio has says that Gyökeres and Sporting will find a solution in the coming days. I think if Arsenal just signed Sesko, it would make everything a lot better. Make sure you smash a like on the video. Nice to be in the studio with you, and I'll speak to you all in a bit. Take care.
SpinQuest Social Casino. It's Thanksgiving time. The turkey's hot and the family's loud. Instead of football, play a different game on your phone. Live dealer blackjack, craps, and slots. Play anytime, anywhere. SpinQuest.com. This Thanksgiving, gobble up a $30 coin pack for just $10. Come play today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.